still are, because we were interested in becoming your pastors. And so Phil Sexton sent us the advert for and can you get you to stand up with me? And you can see them. We were trying to suss you out. Prayer, teaching and singing. We see this as an essential part of being the church. We make this a priority and we are better served to accomplish our mission. Mission comes out of us growing a worshiping community. Amen. We were sold. 5 years later, the heart of Papua New Baptist Church is still the same. We are committed to being a worshiping community. A missional community. That's worth saying together. We are committed to being a worshipping community, a missional community. We see this same vision spelled out in Isaiah 61 as the prophet looks ahead to the coming of the Messiah, the Anointed One, who makes all worship and mission possible. So open up with me. We're looking at Isaiah 61 verses 1 to 4. I love this passage. Reading in the NIV, Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So Isaiah begins with this image of a person being anointed. To anoint someone is to smear them with oil or even to pour oil on them. It was a sign of blessing and favor, like we hear in the 23rd Psalm. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overfloweth. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And later on in the Psalms, the poet describes a good thing. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. You might not think that oil running down the head through the beard onto the clothes is a beautiful thing. This is a good thing. This is anointing. Earlier this year, I spent a day at an Anglican retreat center, and I participated in the celebration of the Lord's Supper. Before he gave us the bread and the wine, the vicar blessed us with oil. I don't know if you've done this before. He moved around the small group of worshippers, dipping his finger into the oil and rubbing it on our hands. The oil of the vicar was on me because the vicar anointed me. It was really intimate and personal, quite strange. A physical action to symbolize the spiritual reality. Isaiah uses this image to say what God is going to do. Through Advent, we remember Israel's situation of exile. That was an age without anointing, when God felt distant to them. Isaiah and the prophets spoke of a day when God would return to his people and bring revival. He would make them alive again. And we feel this Advent longing for ourselves. It says, you wrote in those documents those years ago, we are faithfully and prayerfully expecting a fresh move of God. And it's great to hear that you're doing the same now. We are faithfully and prayerfully expecting a fresh move of God. As a worshipping people, that's what we are, we want a fresh touch from God, eh? We want to feel his presence with us. We want the precious oil poured on the head, running down the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down onto his robe. Intimacy with God, his personal, physical touch, and anointing is what we want. In Isaiah, the sovereign Lord anoints his servant not with oil, but with the Holy Spirit. This happened every now and again through the Old Testament. God rubbed his spirit onto people so that they would prophesy, or so that they would use their craft skills to fashion beautiful sacred buildings and clothing, or to lead his people. The Lord anointed certain people at certain times for certain purposes. But the Messiah, the expected one, he was different. Through Advent, we remember our hope for the coming Messiah, which literally means the anointed one, which is also in the Greek, Christ. Messiah, Christ, anointed one. We wait for the birth of Jesus, the anointed one. He was conceived in the Virgin's womb by the Holy Spirit, an entirely new event, as the Spirit caused the Son to take flesh to his person and be born in our humanity. Later on, at his baptism, we've heard about it, the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus in bodily form like a dove. And John testified that the Spirit remained on him, not just for a certain purpose, a certain time, it remained on him, anointed for life. And the anointing did something for Jesus. It wasn't just for us. It affected his way of being. Because the Spirit's anointing came with the voice from heaven saying, you are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. The anointing enabled Jesus to live into his identity as the Son of God, despite everything that came against him. I am who the Father says I am, even when everyone else says I'm not. That's why Jesus could endure through the temptations. That's why Jesus could pick up the scroll of the prophet Isaiah in his hometown and read, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me. Jesus fulfills the meaning, shows us its true meaning. As a worshipping community who long for God's presence, Christmas is the good news. Because when the Son became human, he was doing something to us, to our humanity. He was enabling our humanity to receive this anointing, not of oil, but of the Holy Spirit. And not just smeared on us, but poured into us. He was enabling us to hear the Father's words of anointing for ourselves. You are my children, whom I love. With you, I'm well pleased. What the Spirit initiated at Christmas, he fulfilled at Pentecost, when the anointed Son became the anointing King and poured out his Spirit on us in tongues of fire. Jesus enabled his people to become little messiahs, little Christs, the anointed church, The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on us because he has anointed us. And like Jesus, this anointing does something to us. Sarah once shared a story of a man who was addicted to drugs and who showed up to church one Sunday morning. He had been on all kinds of things. But as he walked into that church and met the people, he saw that instead of them being on something, although maybe we are this morning standing up and all that, he saw that instead of them being on something, there was something on them. There was a naturalness about them, a freedom to be themselves that he didn't see elsewhere, a generosity of character. He would later testify that it was the Spirit of Jesus resting on this community, anointing them. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We have been anointed by the anointing Son, clothed in Christ, baptized into the biography of Jesus. His story has become ours. In a world searching for identity in all kinds of things like drugs, we live in the freedom of knowing who we really are. I am who the Father says I am. And what do these anointed people do? Isaiah tells us, the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. In other words, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is mission. Like Papanui Baptist, Isaiah weaves worship and mission together seamlessly. Notice how the Spirit's anointing bursts forth in messianic action. The Lord has anointed me to proclaim, to bind, to comfort, to bestow, to provide. There will be dramatic redemption for the needy. The Messiah proclaims good news to the poor, proclaims freedom for the captives, proclaims release for the prisoners, proclaims the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. Redemption. The Messiah brings restoration, giving personal, practical care for the needy. He binds up the brokenhearted. He comforts all who mourn. He provides for those who grieve in Zion. He restores us. And the Messiah lavishes renewal on his needy people. He bestows on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Redemption, restoration, renewal. It's a mosaic of the Messiah's work for his needy people. And don't we long for the Messiah to do this for us? We hunger for his light to break out in our darkness. For we are like these needy people. We need redemption. Like the Israelites, we live in exile. We are wanderers, captive to the ways of sin. Not a day goes by when I get to the end of it without sin to confess. Things I wish I hadn't said. Duties I avoided. People I engaged with as if they were less than the image of God. And that's just the sin I'm aware of. I am in need of redemption from my daily wandering. We need restoration. Like the Israelites, we're tired of change, of rebuilding and new normals. People are weary at this time of year anyway, right? What about this year, with lockdowns and turmoil and pastors leaving us? What wounds are we carrying? Where have scabs formed, with infection raging beneath the surface? How is it oozing out? Short-tempered anger? Sullenness? Apathy? Distraction? Retail therapy? We need restoration for our broken hearts and weary limbs. And we need renewal. Like the Israelites, many people in Aotearoa and around the world in Australia are living in a spirit of despair, not you guys. There's a hopelessness about 2020, a desire to leave it all behind and just jump into 2021, pretend it never happened. There's a desire to escape and begin again. But the Messiah is bringing renewal. He hasn't taken us out of time and space into some disembodied, timeless paradise. He's entered into time and space, lived into our frailty and decay, and through death and resurrection to renew us, renewing us, will renew us. We need God to send us his anointed one, his Messiah, and redeem us from our captivity, restore us, restore our whole being, and renew our hearts so that we can rejoice in all things. If the anointing means mission, it's no wonder that Jesus confirmed his identity as the Messiah by saying, the blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Christmas is good news, because the missionary Messiah comes to redeem, restore, and renew the needy. In Jesus, God has come to us in mission, with the result that they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. It's a good name for Papua New Baptist Church, oaks of righteousness. As a community who have received the spirit of the missionary Messiah and who have been made to flourish as these oaks of righteousness, Jesus now sends us to join in his mission. We hear in Isaiah, they will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. So our worship is integrated with our concerns about education, housing, families, politics, the economy, and so on. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is mission. And now, more than ever, is a time for the church to live out this calling. With the housing market in crisis, particularly for prospecting Wellingtonians, it's about double. With job losses increasing, with mental health issues rampant, with the environment in a climate emergency, with abortion and euthanasia laws liberalized, and COVID-19 continuing to threaten the health and well-being of our community, the church is anointed to be an agent of restoration, redemption, and renewal. That's why we have talked so much over the last few years about our neighborhoods. We've talked endlessly about noticing and responding to what Christ is doing in the people and places around us. Our vision has been to participate in the Spirit's work in local schools, in neighbors' homes, in retirement villages, in commercial enterprises. Through this church, the Spirit is bringing gospel renewal to Northwest Christchurch and beyond. And what a joyful thing this is. It's worth standing for. Leslie Newbegin says it like this: mission begins with an explosion of joy. It's not a job, it's a gift. Christ is coming. Christ has come. Christ is coming again. It's the good news of great joy. And so the most natural thing in the world is for this anointed church to explode out the doors with this good news of Jesus, the Messiah. As little Christs, you have been anointed for mission to proclaim redemption, practice restoration, and participate in renewal. Let's finish with the last two verses from Isaiah 61. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up, automate, and a garden causes seed to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. We are committed to being a worshiping community, a missional community. Thanks be to God.